I know we don't want to talk about this. We just like to get to the point. If we could all sim to that Dallas game, if we were assured that Deshaun would look like vintage Deshaun, let's all be honest. That is half of summer. We'd all do it tomorrow. The absurdity of the amount of tension within Browns fandom, and yet also the fact we're just not talking about expectations for Deshaun because the conversation's been had. The expectations are for him to go out there and go out there and pay dividends from the trade. And we're actually going to get to some of Deshaun's comments from Friday and how they've been received by the media and what was always going to be an uphill climb later in the show. By the way, a little bit of news here. Jack Flaherty, Tiger starter for tonight's Tigers-Guardians game, has been scratched to protect him from trade. I'm just saying, if you wanted to pull the old Ricky Rincon going from the Indians locker room to the A's locker room, you did that with Jack Flaherty. I probably wouldn't go after you as much there, Chernetti. Just saying, just speaking out loud there. But while we are on the conversation of Deshaun Watson, I want to get to something in just a moment here. But 92.3 The Fan is looking for a winner. Enter the word ground at 92.3thefan.com by 7 p.m. for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dan and Shay, those kooky kids, August 9th at Blossom Music Center. Tickets available at livenation.com, courtesy of Live Nation, Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan, and your boys, Nick and Dusty there. But the Deshaun conversation is actually interesting, as long as you haven't made up your mind. And I have felt like Switzerland in the Watson Wars for a very long time, because when they traded for him, to be able to talk about Deshaun every single day, you had to make peace with what he was accused of, sued for, and suspended for. You also had to be able to understand the motivation of the trade from the Browns side. I thought Jimmy Haslam put it the best, which was when Jimmy was like, if his name's Joe Smith, we're probably not giving him this opportunity. And I know that pragmatism pissed a lot of people off. I think that kind of honesty should actually be lauded instead of scoffed at. Because unfortunately, we'd like to think this whole thing's a meritocracy. We'd like to think this is all, hey, if you're a good person, you'll get ahead. Or if you're a definitively good person with no blemishes on your record, with no accusations of anything, it's easier to root for you. It's just not how sports works. It's not how the world works. So I think it's interesting to hear, and just this the conversation that we're having, which is, you know, the Browns media has pointed out that a lot of the offense early on has looked like a shorter passing offense. I'm assuming, and this is an assumption, today I tend to think, well, it probably makes sense with a guy coming off a glenoid injury when we don't have some sort of and I mean any level of quarterback to point to and say this guy came back from this injury as a $100 million quarterback, $200 million, a starting quarterback in the NFL. At the same point, I thought when Andrew Berry talked about his confidence that Deshaun will return to form, I do think this showcased the gap between what the Browns believe and what some fans and media believe, even if I don't necessarily believe it.
I think it's just seeing him every day, seeing how he prepares, seeing how he works in practice, seeing how he relates to his coaches. I think our biggest focus with Deshaun is just making sure that he's available. I think the rest will take care of itself.
I think it's tough for some Browns fans to get behind the idea that Deshaun can still be the quarterback he was in Houston because they don't see those things. And in fairness, we just don't have any track record with Deshaun playing well or well enough. I actually thought he played reasonably well last year. And I think when I've heard people say he didn't play well, to me that speaks to a bias that might be going on there. For me to cover Deshaun, and to be fair to Deshaun, the Browns, to you guys, to my own feelings and my thoughts, whatever, I have to try and be fair as much as I can. So, and I don't think unanimously we've all been fair to Deshaun. Now, there's another side to that, and we'll get to that later. At the same point, people don't see Deshaun works hard. People don't see, well, Deshaun's a good teammate. because those are things you see as an organization. So from that standpoint, kind of just got to take Andrew Berry's word for it, knowing that teams lie all the time when guys aren't good teammates and guys aren't good leaders and guys maybe are people that you don't want to be big fans of. But I think the second half is really interesting because this is where the gap is, I think, between some fans and media and the Browns. Basically, what Andrew said at the end there is really the only thing standing, and I'm paraphrasing now, the only thing standing between Deshaun Watson and the level of success we all hope he's capable of to make this whole thing worth it is availability. And I think that's really, really interesting because I don't think – let me start with what I think. I think he's right. I think last year was a step in the right direction with, by the way, multiple significant injuries to his throwing shoulder. And that if Deshaun can just stay healthy, which some of that's on Deshaun, some of that's on the team and how they use him, and some of that's on, I don't know, the sports gods. I know we're not allowed to say that, especially at this time slot, given the historical conversations about the sports gods, the basketball gods, Rick Kamla and whatnot. At the same point, I tend to think Deshaun, from a football sense, made a step in the right direction. And
if your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It was not even. Guys, look, Joe Burrow does not have four elite quarters in a row of quarterbacking in every single game. So you go to Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes will have three stinky quarters. He'll look like a god in the fourth quarter, and that's all we remember. So it's wild to me that people explain away Deshaun's success from last year. Wow, those 14 throws against Baltimore, they were all underneath throws. They're all short passes, so we should discount it. Or the Arizona game where, guys, by halftime, we were already talking about the Baltimore game. I was in the press box for that Arizona game, and we were laughing. We were having fun. We paid attention to that game. We kept our notes up, but there was not a lot of analysis from that game. Deshaun looked really damn good in his first game back coming off that injury. But that's been explained. Well, that's the Cardinals are a bad team. Well, what about the third game of his season where Deshaun maybe looked as good as he did? It was against Tennessee. I don't know that you can just, because if we're going to start explaining away quarterback success, I think that's how we overanalyze quarterbacks to the point that we did with Baker Mayfield. We overanalyzed Baker, who, by the way, was playing through an injury, and that allowed a franchise who, let's be real honest about the Baker thing. Guys, the fact that they moved on from Baker after one bad season told you they didn't want to be in business with Baker to begin with. That they were looking for any sign. They had made up their minds on Baker. I tend to think it was about personality. I think Baker, I feel like it'd be different now. I feel like Kevin Stefanski, having dealt with Clowney, having dealt with Landry, Jarvis Landry is a great teammate. I just mean he was a very expressive personality. But dealing with Odell Beckham Jr., dealing with Baker, dealing with everything he's dealt with, I think if Kevin had Baker to start now, I think he could handle him. I don't think Kevin could handle that big a personality. Calling him out for being late to meetings or not showing up in certain meetings when Kevin was the offensive coordinator, I don't think Kevin could handle that. I think that determined Baker's fate, that Baker really was, because of his personality, because of who he was, because he didn't pull any punches, I think that determined Baker's fate. And I think we overanalyzed every throw Baker made, and that made it easy for the organization to move on from Baker for pennies and set up the Deshaun trade. So that means all of us are implicit in this whole thing we're at here. But I don't think most fans agree with me on Deshaun. I think most fans say, well, yeah, staying healthy is one part of it, but now he has to prove. That's another tell that you might already be on the outs with Deshaun and how you think about Deshaun when it's all on Deshaun. And in reality, it's just not how this thing works. In reality, the team bears responsibility for bringing Deshaun here. In reality, the team bears responsibility for taking 3 years. 3 years to finally get to a point where they're allegedly, and I'm going to say allegedly until I see this damn offense on the field, where they're allegedly finally going to build the offense that looked like it did in Houston. Guys, this isn't rocket science. I know we all like our we like things to be done the way we like things to be done. But I've heard, wow, but Joe Flacco walked into this and ran the offense the way it's supposed to. You know why? Because Joe fit the offense. Joe fit that same offense. Joe's best season in the NFL came in the Kubiak offense. So, of course, Joe walked into an offense that was that perfectly suits his skill set. And then, well, but, you know, who cares that he threw a bunch of interceptions? I do. Because it bit you in the ass in Houston. Because it took you to a completely non-competitive... Well, but we got to make excuses for Joe. So, do I put a lot of this on Deshaun? You're damn right I do. I'm sick of hearing how, well, I don't give two bleeps about... Yes, you do. Knock that crap off, because you're not winning anybody over in town with the, I just got to block out the noise. Dude, you created the noise. Nobody else scheduled those appointments. Nobody else put themselves repeatedly in those situations, which you were suspended for, which you were sued for, which you settled lawsuits for, which you were, which complicated the trade out of Houston. You have to own that. The Browns also have to own their whole point in bringing the guy here and then it taking three. I heard somebody say, "Ah, well, it's an act of desperation that they've built this offense around him." It's wild that it took them to get desperate to put the quarterback in the situation that brings the best out of that quarterback. It is not as simple as it's just on Deshaun that he has not been Deshaun yet. Is a fair amount of it on Deshaun? Absolutely. It's his story. It's his life. It's his whole being that's on the line here. But have the Browns been flawless in all? Absolutely not. And my hope is, and this is where I hate having to use words like hope, because what the hell are we talking about? Go out there and put players in a position to win. My hope is the Browns are finally in a desperate enough spot where they realize they have to do that. My hope is that Deshaun, with a lower amount of noise, can finally get out of his own way and go out there and play football. Just as simple as that. Anything short of either of those two things happening isn't good for you and me, the common Browns fans.